The reading today is taken from John 20, verse 19 to 31. And we're reading from the New King James. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, as assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
We're just going to share with you guys a psalm from Psalm 13.
I will confess, some days I feel forgotten. Seems like you're hiding your face from me. And I will admit that I wrestle with my thoughts, struggle with all of the sorrow deep. How long will you leave me here without answers, crushed by the words of my enemies? But I will trust your unfailing love. I will rest knowing you're enough. I will give praise through all my days. You have been good to me.
I will confess, some days I feel forgotten. Seems like you're hiding your face from me. I will admit that I wrestle with my thoughts, struggle with all of the sorrow deep. How long will you leave me here without answers, crushed by the words of my enemies? But I will trust your unfaithfulness.
I found it interesting. Since this morning, I've been, well, not since this morning, for the last while, through this time, through Easter, the week before, and then as well throughout this next week, we are thankful. I have been thankful in his risen life. But then there is the next weight that we do know within our own lives, that we have situations that we bear and that we trial through. And the Lord has placed those there for us to grow in him and to remember him and what he's done for us. It's the same thing with communion. We join together to partake together in remembrance of what he's done in his death and resurrection. And I don't know why, you feel the weight. You start to think about loved ones with the handing out of the flowers, just the loved ones and the weight that is there on your own life when you remember those loved ones that you were around that you've now lost. And it is heavy. And Christ was here. He lived and died, but he has rose again. So I thank you for everyone who has partaken in this time. You guys to be here, for all of you to be here this morning, and as well the services and everyone who has helped to do that has been a blessing. And the work that the Lord has put within the hearts of the people to do singing and as well speaking. I just thank the Lord for the abilities that he's given so many of us. Something that I learned while I was in school that they talked about that, I mean, I've thought about, but I've never really thought about, was the world does look as Christ as foolishness. When you're not saved, it is foolishness to you. And I know that sounds like it. That's why, how did you not know that before you went to Bible school? But it wasn't so much as that, but the question and the idea that they gave. And they said, so you go and tell someone that this man is going to the electric chair for you, and now you'll have life. That was kind of the presentation that one of the teachers had given. And let's say the guy's name is Bob. Bob is going to go to the electric chair for you, and now you will have life. Well, saying that to the world, it does look like foolish. And even saying that myself, it sounds foolish in saying that. But that's like what Christ did for us, right? He went to the cross, but he was the perfect one. He was a high priest. He is given the order of Melchizedek as the high priest. And he does have an eternal kingdom that he sits in now at the right hand of God in his throne. There's a few things that I want to look at here in John 20. John 20, which was just read as well for you. In John, if you're there, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 20, verse 19. New life in the Spirit. That's one point I want you to think about through this. New life in the Spirit. Not a spirit from us, but a spirit from God. The spirit that Christ gives. In verse 19, it says, peace be with you, Christ said to them. Then in verse 21, so chapter 20 of John, verse 19, I'm reading from the ESV as well. So John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, peace be with you. Then in verse 21, he says again, peace be with you. Then in verse 26, again, he says, peace be with you. He wanted them to be comforted, wanted them to know that he is their strength. The door was locked. It talks about in here too. It says that the door was locked for they were afraid. The disciples were afraid. They were in their home afraid. But Christ come into them with the doors locked as well, just something for you to think about as well. So he comes in, doors locked, and he says, peace be with you. In verse 20 it says, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Their eyes were opened. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. breathed on them. Hopefully he had a mint before he breathed on them. Just verse 23, it says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold the forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And then we have Doubting Thomas in verse 24. God gives life through his breath. Genesis 22:27. We see this when it says, then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. God breathed into man and man lived. Without the breath of God, man would have no life. Jesus is God and is able to give life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. In John 1:1, we see proof to the Godhead. And in verse 22 here, we see proof and power of Jesus in his breath and life to the disciples. Verse 22 helps us to see the power of God bestowed upon his Son. New life is given to the disciples. New life. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, there might be a question in your head. I know this question was in my head as I was reading through this. How do they receive the Holy Spirit when Pentecost had not come yet? How is it possible? So let's dig a little deeper. If you as well have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there was sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open the graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. Verse 14, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your land, and they shall know that I am a Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. So we have imagery here of breath and life coming to dry, dead bones. These dry bones are given life through breath. Israel will live. Israel will be given life. The disciples were a part of Israel. The Jews, a part of Israel. Life. Verse 14 of Ezekiel. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your land. Something to think about is that Christ was glorified because he had died and he had rose in his death and resurrection. He was here still on earth, but he had died and rose in his resurrection. And the regeneration of Israel is fulfilled after the Davidic kingship of Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. Christ's work was completed. As Christ was on the cross, it is finished. On the cross, he was glorified. There was a few thoughts as I was going through this, as I was thinking about the Spirit and the Spirit being given. But Israel is a chosen race by God, and the Jews first were given the gospel. We Gentiles come later. I believe this will help us understand what was happening with the work of the Spirit and how the Spirit was given to them. I'm going to give you an example with Donald Guthrie, who said, what is the relationship between verse 22 and the later descent of the Spirit at Pentecost, which I've talked about? Some see two distinct givings of the Spirit, but that is unlikely. It is best to regard the present statement as an anticipation of Pentecost. Although some primarily bestowal is implied in the context. There is a verb used in the ordinary word of breathe. Clearly the disciples did not at this point receive the full endowment of the Holy Spirit, for they were still lacking in the power which came at Pentecost. The giving of the Spirit here was linked with the forgiving of their sins. Verse 23. Which says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. So let's understand this a little bit more. We have regeneration symbolism with Ezekiel chapter 37. Jesus breathed life into the disciples, new life, eternal life, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you of what John 7:37-39 says as well, though. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So when the Spirit comes, out will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. They would receive the Holy Spirit, but not till Jesus was glorified. But now Jesus was glorified in his death and resurrection. When the Spirit comes in Pentecost, they are able to go out into all the world to do the work that God has declared for them. The Spirit given here is new life. They needed the Spirit life so that they could understand, so that they could see him, so that they could perceive him. The day of Pentecost came after Christ left. That's where you come, Acts chapter 2. The power of the Holy Spirit would be given to them when Jesus was no longer with them, and each would understand in his own language the gospel and then go out into all the world. As tongues of fire come upon them, they would then be able to understand in their languages, because as Israel was dispersed, they were all coming together, and they were able to understand the gospel being spoken to them because of tongues of fire. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. W. Hall Harris states, the giving of the power would occur later, on the day of Pentecost. Power, witness, and carry out the mission to the disciples has been given. And I love what he says in this part too. Listen to this. It is important to remember that in the historical unfolding of God's program for the church, these events occurred in chronological sequence, which, after the church has been established, is not repeatable today. So what happened to the disciples there, what happened at Pentecost, it's not repeatable today. That is a whole chronological giving of the Spirit to them. The Spirit does come and dwell within us when we believe in Him, which we're going to get to actually in here with the belief part with Thomas. Thomas, who doesn't join the party of the disciples till about 8 days later, roughly the following Sunday. This is from verse 26 of John chapter 20, verse 26. 8 days later, it says, but he never received the breath from Jesus. Thomas did not believe until he himself would see and touch. It doesn't say that he actually touched him, but it insinuates that something happened. Does this mean Thomas never received life, new life, since Jesus did not breathe on him? It does not say Jesus breathed on Thomas. It doesn't show that anywhere. You don't see that in the text. You won't find it. But it does say Thomas understood and saw Jesus. It says, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, Christ is God dwelling in the flesh. Thomas clearly had faith that this was the risen Christ. This represents a major aspect of the gospel, believing. Let's read verses 30 to 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these, verse 31, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. New life through the name of Jesus Christ. So there's a couple representations here. First, the Spirit is given to understand. There's one thing, one representation. Then there's other representation. I had to see, touch. It does talk about seeing Jesus as well with other disciples in verse 20. But then as well, in 27, Thomas wouldn't believe unless he had seen it. He wanted to see the nails. He wanted to see it up close. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here in verse 27 and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. He was given new life. He understood. He saw it then. He saw Jesus. We do not see Jesus as the disciples do. We will not see Jesus here on this earth the way they did. He will come back. We will see Him. But we do not see Jesus now. We do not touch Him now. We do not see Him on the cross, coming off the cross. We do not touch His holes. We do not touch anything of Him in that way, as maybe Thomas did, to feel and understand with seeing, with the holes in his hands, or his feet, or the hole in his side. So there is the Spirit's work on us. Dry, dead bones brought to life. There is belief. And we must believe in the risen Christ. We must believe and be saved. It becomes simple for the gospel. Believe in Him and find salvation. Donald Guthrie stated as well, we depend upon secure evidence, Scripture, the witness of the church through the ages, our own experiences, but not on actually seeing Jesus. Again, like I said before, it is foolishness to the world, but if they believe and see that He is the risen Christ, there is hope and faith. I want to give you one last thing here before we close. Luke 23:39-43 talks about the criminal on the cross. I had been thinking about this throughout this week. And I'm sure many of you have read this story often and gone through it and looked at it and thought, how did this man on the cross receive salvation when he did nothing? Because there is nothing that we do to come other than it says to believe. Two criminals on the cross. One sees, the other one doesn't. They both saw him on the cross. Why does one believe and the other not? Which we see from the scriptures. Jesus was right there, hanging naked, and the one criminal believed, and his last dying breaths, he sees the Son of God. There's a weight to it. There's a weightiness to it. Luke 23:39, it says, one of the criminals who were hanging railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Verse 40, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I was thinking about this a bit, and then I ended up falling upon a video with Alistair Begg. And brought a little more light to me. And then Rachel, not shortly after, then ended up following on a video with another man. And I listened to both of them, and I had the same thoughts. Not everything perfectly, but the same idea, concept of what was going on. Jesus, remember me, in verse 42 it said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. No teachings. No studies on justification by faith. No teachings on sanctification. This is the criminal on the cross. No water baptism. No attending or organizing church or becoming a member of a church body. No attending Bible study classes. No communion. No delivering of his pain instantaneously on the cross. None of that. He has given new life while hanging upon a cross. While bearing his cross, he is given new life. He saw and believed. This picture is amazing. We can complicate the gospel at times. It is simple. We need to believe. We believe in the risen Christ and the saving work of Christ. So as we go today, think about the criminal on the cross. We don't clean ourselves before we enter a shower. We enter the shower to clean ourselves. The man on the cross saw his own filth and then looked to Jesus and was saved. When Jesus picked his disciples, he didn't say, go clean yourselves up before you follow me. He said, come and follow me. So we must come and humble ourselves before our Savior. God's finished work is complete. The question of this at the end of this chapter 20, or in chapter 20 of John, the question is, and I love this in this book, in the book of John, and what he wrote in here in verse 31 of chapter 20. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We believe and have new life. So we believe in a risen Christ. Amen? Amen.
I'm going to turn myself on here. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. I just want to invite you to stand and sing with us about his all-sufficient merit.
All-sufficient merit, shining like the sun. The fortune I inherit by no works I have done. My righteousness I forfeit at my Savior's cross, where all sufficient
more.
Our benediction is from Romans 8:3. It says, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh." Amen.
It is done. It is finished. No more debt I owe. Paid in full. All sufficient. Merit now my own. Merit now my own. Merit now my own.
Go in peace.